Welcome to the Daily Fantasy Basketball Podcast, brought to you by the No Halftime app. Use promo code BBALL100, that's BBALL100, to get up to a $100 deposit bonus to use in the app. You can find the No Halftime app on the Apple Store and Amazon.com. And with that, we are off for the DFS show for a Wednesday, October 26th, a monster 10-game slate on Wednesday. We should say at the outset that we're taping this on Tuesday night. So right now it's about 10:35 Eastern time. So Golden State and San Antonio are just about to tip off. But again, this is for Wednesday's slate of games. I think it's, let's see, 10 games tomorrow or 10 games on Wednesday?
10 games. You are correct. Well, that's a good count there.
Thank you. So it's a beautiful slate, lots of basketball, lots of information. So let's get cracking. Today I have two distinguished guests, Kyle McEwen. Kyle, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on, Daniel. Everybody, you can find me on Twitter at RotoKyleNBA.
And we have the wild card, the wild man, Tyler Watts. Tyler, what's up?
Oh, man, not much. How's it going with you, Daniel?
It's going well. And tell the lovely audience where they can find you on Twitter.
You can find me at Watsy4444.
Now, I don't know if you guys played DFS tonight. I just want to get this out because I am – if I sound a little angry, guys, it's because I am. And that is because Courtney Lee has crushed 35 to 40% of all my lineups. He put up 3.6 FanDuel points tonight. And I played, and I needed a shooting guard under 4K. So I my two choices were Manu Ginobili or Courtney Lee. And Courtney Lee decided to have a horrendous game.
Now, is Courtney Lee somebody you played in like a lot of 50-50s in your cash games? Because he's not really a great tournament play, is he?
Well, so I only played tournaments tonight. I didn't play any.
Okay.
When it's small slates, I will play very few cash games 50-50s just because everyone's going to have the same lineup. And to me, it's not really worth it. So I played almost all GPPs, all big tournaments. And I tried to win some big money.
So like what percentage of your lineups did you have Courtney Lee in?
So I had Courtney Lee in about 35% of my lineups.
You are insane.
Well, again, so like I had a core set of guys that I wanted to use. My typical strategy is I'll use, you know, 4 to 5 core set of players in all of my lineups, and then to get those guys that I wanted, I had to get a shooting guard under 4K.
Yeah, so I feel you.
And I mean, I thought even horrendous, slow, unathletic,
right,
Courtney Lee is going to get me. I just needed like 10, 15 FanDuel points. You know, that's
right.
It. But yeah. He had zero actual points. It was just brutal. So anyway,
it is not a complete surprise that Courtney Lee, you know, crapped the bed.
Oh no, not at all. I mean, yeah. Again, if you're paying that price, you know you're getting a crappy player. So like,
right.
it's not that surprising.
Yep, totally.
I'm hoping Ginobili can come and save me, and I still have some other decent lineups in play. So we'll see. But let's get going to Wednesday's slate of games. Beautiful games. The best game on the board, Houston at the Lakers. This game has a whopping 223 over-under. It is by far the highest over-under on the board. The second highest is Sacramento at Phoenix at 212. So, man, I am going to be playing the heck out of Houston at the Lakers. Wow. And Houston's only a 6.5-point favorite. You know, we'll see if that's going to be a little bit too low. And, I mean, if that game stays close tomorrow – so many people I like from that game, guys.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you're going to get value on some of the guys who are primed for a breakout. You know, when you're talking about D'Angelo Russell, potentially Jordan Clarkson, depending on what his role is. But I would be most likely comfortable playing Jordan Clarkson, expecting him to have a big role, even if they do decide to bring him off the bench.
Yep.
I think we still haven't heard definitively what the Lakers starting lineup will be. But who else are you looking at in that game as far as saying guys that you really do like?
I mean, like the best part right now, especially about the there's some guys on Houston and Lakers, is that I think the prices are too low for lots of guys in this game for tomorrow. So I love D'Angelo Russell at 6.5K. I still like Jordan Clarkson at shooting guard. Like you said, I don't care if he starts or comes off the bench. I think he's like around 5.6K. I like Lou Williams. I don't care if he starts or comes off the bench at only 4.6K. I also like Eric Gordon at shooting guard at 5.2K. I love Trevor Ariza at small forward at 5.5K.
It's insane how many well-priced players there are in this game. I mean, Clint Capela, 4,200, even at playing only 24 expected minutes, because D'Antoni said that the Rockets plan on splitting Capela and Nene's minutes 24-24 right down the line on a given night. Like, that's the game plan, at least. So if that's what you can expect, it's still going to be a good value at 4,200 for Capela.
Yep, I think the top overall player tomorrow, without question, is James Harden. Even though James Harden is 11.2K, if that game stays close, I can't envision a scenario where he gets less than 55 FanDuel points.
Yep. I mean,
it's just impossible. So just fantasy goodness all across the board in that game tomorrow.
Yeah, no, over on Basketball Monster, where we have our daily games projections and whatnot, we've got Harden projected for essentially 52, 53 FanDuel points tomorrow. So, yep. That's going to be a fun game to draw a lot of your guys out from. But it's you got 10 games tomorrow though too, so there's a lot of other places you can look.
And it's on ESPN too, so you guys can watch it even if you don't got League Pass. You can
I would say if you're playing cash games tomorrow, put James Harden in your lineup. Don't overthink it. Just get him in there and move on. Like, that should be the number one player you have locked into all your cash games tomorrow. It's safe. It's just get him in there. Don't overthink it. So the second best game that I think is Sacramento Phoenix. Phoenix is only a 2.5-point favorite. I mean, you have two really poor teams in general, two bad defensive teams. And the over-under is 212. This game I also love. I think it's going to be a lot of fantasy goodness, a lot of good guys in this game as well.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we know that Ty Lawson with Darren Collison out for the first 8 games due to suspension. We heard that Ty Lawson is going to play 30 to 40 minutes. At least that's what Ty Lawson said, that Dave Yeager told him they plan on using him. So you're going to get high usage out of Ty Lawson, and he's going to be just 5,100 on FanDuel. So right there, that's somebody you can slot in and expect some really nice run out of. Devin Booker is only 6,200, and he's being looked at as the first option on Phoenix right now. That's a great price for him, considering the scoring potential. And we've seen unexpected steals and higher assists this preseason too out of Devin Booker. So maybe that even further improves his fantasy points.
Yeah,
somebody loves Devin Booker.
Yeah, no, and Sacramento is just notoriously known as being the worst team in the league at guarding opposing shooting guards. So Devin Booker, he might be, you know, next to Harden. He's either the second or third best shooting guard on the board tomorrow. So that game looks delicious. You know, we don't want to go through all 10 of the games. I mean, we're going to take it position by position in a little bit, but I'll just say, in terms of blowouts, looking at the over-unders, the only game that looks like Vegas thinks it's a certain blowout is Brooklyn at Boston tomorrow. Boston is a 14-point favorite. Now, the thing here is the over-under is really nice. It's 211.5. So, you know, I think in tournaments, I'm still going to have some exposure to some of these players. But in cash games, I probably don't want anyone on Brooklyn or Boston. In some tournaments, though, I'm still going to be playing some Jeremy Lin and some guys definitely from this game. But this game should not be close. And by the fourth quarter, you should expect both teams to be resting their starters. And with that, do you want to go into the top plays of the day at each position, guys?
Let's do it.
All right, so let's start with point guard, and this is the way that I kind of rank them. I'll just give you, so we have 6 ranked right now, and again, we're not listing, you know, all everyone, but these are the guys that kind of stood out to me, and then Kyle and Tyler, you guys can jump in and let me know your thoughts. So Westbrook, I'm at number 1, 12K at Philly. Now the key here to me is, can Philly keep this game close? I mean, Westbrook at 12K, I mean, he's got to put up 60 FanDuel points, which is, you know, he can easily do. But, you know, again, he needs to be on the court. So if that game is a blowout, it makes it a little bit risky. I mean, I think OKC is an 8.5-point favorite. So there is some blowout potential there. So that's the whole question there is, can Philly keep that game close? I would say probably no.
Yeah, they might not be able to keep it close. But you also think back to, we've seen Westbrook have some pretty awesome games against Philadelphia. And they're integrating a lot of new guys. They don't have a lot of shooting. There's a good chance that this game is closer than what people think when it's all said and done. I'm not confident that OKC is just going to stomp Philadelphia right now. I think they're still kind of coming together as a team.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing that I would say with that is, and the reason why, in cash games, I would, you know, if you can only fit Harden or Westbrook, I'm definitely going to go Harden in my cash games tomorrow, is because just because of that blow up potential and because of the fact there's some great value that we're going to talk about in a minute at point guard, that will allow you to spend up at, you know, at some other positions.
Yep.
So another guy who I like tomorrow, you know, I think we've talked about him on previous podcasts, Kyle. I know me and you have mentioned him. I think Tyler likes him too. And that's Goran Dragic, 6.9K at Orlando. Elfrid Payton's a decent defender, but I think, you know, Goran Dragic, one thing that came out in the news today that surprised me a little bit is Spoelstra wants to limit Dragic's minutes to, like, the low 30s. So that made me a little...
Yeah, but he's going to carry a heavier load on that team offensive-wise. Yeah. Like, there's a good chance that he's the second leading scorer on that team this season. In fact, I would be surprised if it's, you know, between him and Whiteside. I'd kind of expect Whiteside to score a little bit more. But there's still a chance that Goran can average close to 20 points on this team, even if he's only playing 32, 33 minutes a night.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. I think Dragic and Whiteside, they're both going to average right between 18 and 20 points. I think Dragic is going to have a usage rate, you know, between 27 and 29%, which is fantastic. So, you know, he's a really nice play tomorrow at point guard. And I think his ownership is going to be pretty low on a 10-game slate. So I think you can get him. He's a good tournament play tomorrow.
Yep, absolutely.
Another guy that I think we're all going to love, a guy that I'm probably going to have in my cash games. I'm definitely going to play him in tournaments too. And that's, we talked about him a little already, and that's D'Angelo Russell, 6.5K against Houston. No Patrick Beverley. You know, I don't know who Houston's going to have guarding him. I hope it's James Harden. so 6.5K, great for cash games and great for tournaments.
Yeah, absolutely. You love, yeah, 6,500. You just love the upside with D'Angelo Russell. He could play a ton of minutes, and he's gonna have the ball in his hands. He's the number one guy. If by the end of the season, you know, the final 2 months of the season, D'Angelo hits his stride, he's done kind of figuring out how to be the man, and he becomes the man. I wouldn't be surprised if we see him average 26 points over the course of a month at some point this season. Yep. On that team.
Yep, totally agree. Another guy who has a tough matchup tomorrow. I mean, Jeremy Lin, 6.3K. I love the price, but at Boston, we already talked about the blow-up potential. Boston, you know, the last 2 years now, they're typically one of the best teams in you know, guarding, or at least having a, what's the right phrase here? Perimeter defense? Is that the right phrase?
Yeah. Right, but I guess thinking about Jeremy Lin's game, though, there's not a lot of rim protection on that Boston team necessarily.
True.
So Jeremy Lin might have kind of a field day getting into the rack, because that's kind of what he's best at. And you also just somewhat believe that the way that Jeremy Lin remanufactured his shot this offseason, it just seems like it doesn't matter who he's playing against. He's getting it off so quick that it might seem a little bit weird, but I'm super confident that Jeremy Lin's just going to be balling out and wiling out all season.
Yep. No, I mean, I'm definitely not going to be playing him in cash games, just because I am Marcus Smart. I think somehow he might scare Jeremy Lin a little bit.
Well, Smart's out tomorrow. So
then they'll probably put Avery Bradley on him a little bit.
Yep, absolutely. But, you know, because there's nobody else there on offense. I mean, to take the other side. You know, I just painted a little bit of a rosy picture about Jeremy Lin, but to paint the darker side, even with Marcus Smart out, Avery Bradley's there, and Jay Crowder's there. If they want to get big and start punishing Jeremy Lin. Jaylen Brown played really well this preseason. I was extremely surprised. There's a lot there that Boston can still throw at Jeremy Lin to punish him. And Brooklyn doesn't have other options to go away from Lin. So Lin's going to have to try to score a lot, because it's him and it's Brooke Lopez. And then it's maybe guys. Like, is Bojan Bogdanovic actually going to play well? Randy Foy's out for the game. And Rondae Hollis-Jefferson's not really an offensive first player. Neither is Trevor Booker. Those are both defense first players. So Jeremy Lin's going to have to carry the water. But Boston is a tougher matchup.
Totally agree. Next up, a guy I think I talked about on one of the podcasts and I think I drafted in some season long leagues. And that is Tim Frazier, 5K, a decent matchup tomorrow against versus Denver. a nice over-under here, 207. I'm trying to see what the point spread is. So it looks like New Orleans is a three-point favorite, so it should be a close game as well. Look, I think as long as they're missing Drew Holiday, I think Tim Frazier is going to be a nice play. I don't think he has a great ceiling, but I think he's got a nice safe floor. I think, you know, he's not a huge scorer, but I think he's a nice play at 5K. I mean, you can do worse. If you need someone, you need a value point guard, I think he's a decent play tomorrow.
Right. Tim Frazier's a decent player, but they're still probably going to give Langston Galloway run off the bench. They're probably still going to get, you know, Etuan Moore starting at shooting guard, but he's also probably going to get some play ball handling so that they can get Buddy Hield in some more. The Pelicans have a wealth of mediocre guards that are going to kind of hurt each other's value in a certain respect.
True. And the six, so that's 5 point guards. Number six, Tyler, you want to take your favorite player? And who do we have at number six?
For six, 5.1K. We already talked about that a little bit. But, I mean, I just think the huge minutes are going to be there. So, I mean, you ought to be able to do something.
Yep, and playing against Phoenix too. Maybe actually Eric Bledsoe is not the best matchup for him, but, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Ty Lawson is a guy. I think he's going to be super low owned in tournaments, especially in like large GPPs. I think he's a really sneaky play that 5.1K price. You know, he's going to get some nice minutes tomorrow. So like, he's a sneaky play. I'm going to definitely have some exposure to him tomorrow.
Yeah, and I mean, there's a lot of other really good buys. Ricky Rubio's a good buy at 6,500. Emmanuel Mudiay is decent at 5,800. So Alfred Payton at 5,900. Some good guys to go there. If you wanted to punt on a point guard, throw in Terry. It's not even really a punt. Terry Rozier with Marcus Smart being out, 3,500. You can throw him at point guard if you wanted to spend a bunch of money elsewhere. Plus, it allows you to buy another bigger price guy.
Yeah, but especially if Boston does indeed have a blowout tomorrow against Brooklyn, you know, Rozier could get some really nice minutes there. So that's a nice punt. Let us move on to shooting guard. Shooting guard was horrendous for Tuesday's slate, but for Wednesday, the 10-game slate, got some nice options here. Number one, who I think, again, get him in your cash games. Don't overthink this. James Harden. He's pricey, 11.2K, but at the Lakers, the matchup's just too nice. The over-under's too nice. Just get him in there.
And your main argument there is just that he's going to hit value. He costs a lot of money, but he's gonna be worth it. So you might as well get that and know that you're going to get the guy who's going to score the most points most likely tomorrow.
I mean, it's a safe play. It's the right play. If you want to fade him in tournaments, because he's going to be so high owned tomorrow, and you want to be contrarian. I mean, I'm fine with that. But you know, even in tournaments, I'm going to have a lot of him as well, because I think you don't want to say a can't miss play, because you know, obviously you never know what happens. But he's as close to a can't miss play for tomorrow night that you can get.
Hello. So,
at least in my opinion.
Could yeah, totally.
The no defense derby, man. Everyone's going to be good there.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, again, that over under is 223. I mean, that's insane. So. It should be just an up-and-down game, no defense, and everyone, tons of guys should have tremendous stats. So for fantasy, that's what you want.
So who else are we looking at at shooting guard?
So the next guy, I'm very intrigued to see how Giannis – I'm not even going to try to pronounce Alphabet Man's last name. Antetokounmpo?
It's Giannis like Yanni. So it's Giannis Antetokounmpo.
There you go. What college is that?
Okounmpo.
So Giannis is 9.4K versus Charlotte. Now the problem here in this game is that the over under scares the hell out of me. I looked at it. The over under is the lowest for the night at 192.5. That is ugly. That is almost 30 points less than Houston Lakers. So originally I was like, I don't want any part of this game. So that means I don't think I can play Giannis in a cash game. But he's so talented, man. I'm probably going to have a little bit of exposure in tournaments. But he's pricey at 9.4K. You know, he needs to give you, you know, about 48 FanDuel points, something in there. And Charlotte, is a pretty good defensive team. But the thing that scares me more so is just they play at a slow pace. So what are your thoughts about using Giannis tomorrow?
There's upside with him to hit that value, but 9,400 is a lot.
A lot.
He has to do On BBM, on Basketball Monster, they got him projected for 41 FanDuel points right now, which is, it's not hitting value. You need to get 43 or about 44. And that's with him, with Giannis projected for 36 minutes, 18 points, you know, like good, decent stats. Not subpar production at all. And with a slow it down game against Charlotte, a team that prides themselves on defense, Giannis is probably going to get matched up against MKG, who's, you know, one of the better defenders. I don't know. He's maybe that, maybe that's somewhere I go. Maybe I go elsewhere at shooting guard for Wednesday, and I'm the biggest Giannis fan there is.
Yeah. I totally agree with that. I'm definitely going to play him in one or two lineups just because the upside, you know, it definitely is there. He could explode. And especially on a site like DraftKings where you do get bonuses for like double-doubles and triple-doubles. I mean, you never know what the kind of numbers he could put up. So,
well, and there's a two-point spread on the game too. So it's going to be close, and it might be grinded out, and they could go to three overtimes because of mediocrity. And also, you know what, sometimes – you know, if there's a lot of defense, there's more rebounds, there's more blocks, there's more steals. Maybe, and Giannis can produce in every single category, so that's good.
Yep. Agree. The next guy that I'm looking at tomorrow, shooting guard, talked about him a little bit, and that's Devin Booker, 6.2K versus Sacramento. Sacramento, they're always, and you know, Ben McLemore's horrendous lack of defense. Him and Harden are the two worst defenders, in my opinion, in the NBA. So I love Devin Booker tomorrow. I think he has a monster game. You know, again, this game has an over-under of 212 with a 2.5 Phoenix favored by 2.5 points. Wow. I mean, Devin Booker is going to be a core player for me in my cash games. And I'm going to play a ton of him in tournaments too.
Yep.
Next up, we have an interesting guy that is Evan Fournier. I mean, if you remember last year and you played DFS last year and even season long, Evan Fournier, the first half of the year, he was just destroying teams. I mean, it was amazing. He was putting up just like 30, 40 FanDuel points a night on a regular basis, and it was pretty amazing. And then he just touched, you know, the second half of the season, the minutes went down a little. And I think he was like leading the league in minutes for a while too, quite honestly.
At the beginning of the season, they had Oladipo coming off the bench there for a stretch, and then Oladipo came back in, and it kind of funked with Fournier's jive. Yep. But this season, Fournier's going to be the leading scorer on the Orlando Magic. So there's tons of opportunity there. He has to take shots. And then hopefully just being more of a focal point for the team, maybe Fournier finds a way to get more assists, maybe potentially some defensive stats. But for the most part, you're just excited about the increased offensive role he's going to have, and he's just 5,800.
Yeah, so he's 5,800. They're playing Miami. It's a 200 over-under, which is, you know, it's okay, not great. The only thing that worries me a little bit is Miami going to put Justice Winslow on him. Winslow, you know, is a really nice defender. If Winslow's on Fournier, I think that hurts him a little bit. Not a ton, but I think that will hurt him a little bit. That makes Fournier only a tournament-only player for me tomorrow.
Well, Fournier, he mixes up his game a little too. So he'll go to the rack, and he'll also hit jumpers. But maybe he goes to the rack less against Miami with Hassan Whiteside down there doing the funk nasty.
True. Next up, another interesting guy from the game that we all love, and that's Lakers-Houston. It's Jordan Clarkson, 5.7K. Again, I mean, I think he's going to come off the bench. I mean, I don't think we know definitively yet, but again, it doesn't really matter to me if he does. And I think he's a nice play. 5.7K, I think that's he's pretty safe. You know, I don't know though. I don't know how much the upside is there. I think against Houston, it's okay because the over-under is just so dang high. But I think he's got a nice safe floor.
Holla.
Next up, another guy from that game. I think this guy's going to be really low owned tomorrow. So for tournaments, I really like him. That's Eric Gordon, 5.2K. I think we've all seen. You know, I think we've all been pissed at Eric Gordon probably in the past, and especially in our season long leagues because he's killed us with injuries. But when he's healthy, man, he's a nice player. I think he's going to thrive in that D'Antoni system, and I like him at 5.2K tomorrow.
Yeah, there's definitely potential for Eric Gordon to have a kind of resurgent season playing in this D'Antoni offense. And also, while Patrick Beverley is out, he should have to do a little bit more facilitating too as the second ball handler. And then also, D'Antoni said he's going to want Gordon or Harden out there at all times while So yeah, while Patrick Beverley is out.
Yeah, so take advantage and play Gordon, you know, while he's healthy in that system. Like I'm very intrigued to see what D'Antoni does with those minutes tomorrow for Houston. So another guy, we're still on shooting guard number 7. We got a lot of shooting guards. Again, staying in that game, man. I mean, if it's not broke, don't, what's the phrase? If it ain't broke, don't fix it. Man, I'm bad with my phrases. And it's been a long
night. I think you know that phrase.
I know. And it's been a long night though. I'm still in the back of my head thinking about Courtney Lee. I'm still furious.
So you like Lou Williams? You're willing to put some blood on Lou Williams?
I am. I'm going to play Lou Will in some tournaments. You know, he's not a cash game player. It's definitely a riskier move tomorrow, but 4.6K. So, you know, if I have some lineups where I want to play, you know, maybe 3 or 4, you know, really higher price players. Maybe I want to line up with Westbrook, Harden, and one other star like, you know, Towns or Cousins. You know, if I'm going to need some cheap shooting guards, Lou Williams is one guy. Hey, if he gets hot, he could easily hit 4 or 5 threes. You know, 4.6K in a high fast up tempo game. I think he's an okay selection for tomorrow at 4.6K. And okay, lastly,
I am worried that he might get buried a little bit, but it's Lou Williams always exceeds expectation.
Yeah, I mean, again, at 4, I mean, you don't need much. If he would come on and get like 10, 12 actual points, a couple rebounds, a couple assists, like that would basically be, you know, hit value. So I don't need him to have a huge game. And I do expect him to get about 25 minutes. So I think it's reasonable.
Hello.
The last guy, shooting guard, that is Rondae Hollis-Jefferson, 4.3K. Again, don't love the matchup here against Boston, but I think if you need to save, you know, 4.3K is a reasonable price.
Yeah, no, Rondae is interesting. You wonder exactly how many minutes he'll get. There's the potential for him to play a buttload of minutes, and if he does, then he could go out there and get tons of rebounds, and then his defensive stats as well can kind of definitely help make him a surprise value.
All right, let's move on to a small forward. Now, I think small forward is probably the worst position tomorrow, and it's not even close. It's horrendous. I was not a fan of this. It was hard for me to find kind of my favorite plays. The top guy, I think that's pretty clear, and that's the Paul George. I like the price here, 9.5K.
Hey, you know, I'm sorry to – I just wanted to correct something. I think Rondae is listed as a small forward on FanDuel.
Oh really? Oh, let me see. I thought I had him as a shooting guard. And
I just don't want to misinform.
Yeah, no, it would make sense that he would be a small forward.
Yeah, well, you know what? It was weird. This offseason, people started talking about Rondae Hollis-Jefferson as like a shooting guard, and I've never looked at him that way. When I see his game and the kind of players that you want him to guard, like I don't think shooting guards. I think rugged, bigger guys. You get a Rondae Hollis-Jefferson on your team because you want him to be able to go up chest to chest with LeBron James.
Yeah, no, I just look, you are absolutely correct. He is listed as a small forward on FanDuel. So that is my bad. That is good catch by you.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So
teamwork, man.
Yeah, nice catch. Yeah, I don't know why the hell I would have thought he would be a shooting guard, even though, like you said, I guess there has been a little talk of him. But
it's all tight, dude.
All right.
I'm sure he's listed as shooting guard on a different site.
Maybe that was what I was thinking. But small forward. Paul George, 9.5K. Nice game tomorrow, Indiana versus Dallas. Two teams that I'm intrigued to see how they do. The over-under is 206.5. Nice over-under. Should be a close game. Indiana's a 6.5-point favorite. Paul George, 9.5K. I think that's a reasonable price. What are your thoughts?
I mean, he's definitely one of your high-priced players you can buy. I don't know if I trust Paul George to go out and be – super dominant though, and there is the potential with Jeff Teague on that team now, with a focus to make Miles Turner a bigger part of the offense, with Thaddeus Young there, it's possible that even though Paul George has come out and been like, I'm going to be MVP this year, it's possible that he actually has reduced stats this season than what he had last year. So because I just think there's more options on that team.
Yeah, I'm interested to see what his ownership is tomorrow. I can't get a good feel for what it's going to be. I mean, you know, he is the highest priced guy at small forward by a lot. So I still think his ownership is probably going to be in the high 20s, maybe mid 30s. But you know, he's not going to be a cash game player for me, but I'm definitely going to have some exposure in tournaments.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally. I mean, he's playing against Dallas, and Harrison Barnes has been struggling just in every respect this preseason. So maybe Paul George can just eat him up.
Yep. All right, let's go through some other small forwards. I'm going to say a couple of these guys and just jump in and let me know your thoughts. Let's try to pick up the pace here. Rudy Gay, 6.9K at Phoenix. Nice matchup. Trevor Ariza, 5.5K at the Lakers. Nice matchup. The aforementioned struggling Harrison Barnes. I mean, dear God, he's only 4.8K. He's making over $100 million, right? And 4.8K, just brutal. At Indiana. What any of those three guys do you guys like for tomorrow?
You know, I mean, at 4,800, Harrison Barnes is a good potential play because he's still going to get tons of minutes.
That's what I was thinking, man. Like, even if he shoots, like, 1-for-10, isn't he going to just, like, stumble into, like, some rebounds, some assists if he's playing, like, over 30 minutes?
I'm not confident, and he could definitely, you know, pull a Courtney Lee on you and crap the bed, but it's worth throwing him into a lineup or two or five.
Well, at that price, he doesn't really have to do much.
I think I would almost rather take a risk, pay $3,500, throw Jaylen Brown in there, and hope that he gets more minutes with Marcus Smart being out, especially if that Boston game is going to be a blowout, you know?
Yeah.
So, and Brandon Ingram, I know he hasn't necessarily had, like, a great consistent preseason, but there was that one game where they did give him a larger ball handling role. And he kind of went with it. He's just 4,000, so that's kind of another one of those pump plays you could do. Stanley Johnson had a weak preseason, but 3,500. Sorry, I just started rambling about guys.
No, totally fine.
But yeah, you know, just looking at some of these guys, there's some interesting pump plays at small forward. But you're right, it is pretty terrible. I'm still really confident that Aaron Gordon is going to be better. Like everybody's is sticking their nose up at him like, oh, he'll never get a, you know, he'll never figure out his jump shot. And it's like, really? Do you watch him? It's not all that bad. And you can see the root of a multi-talented player on offense. It's just, it's going to take a little bit of time to develop. Playing against Miami though, too, Miami plays some smaller guys out at, you know, Justice Winslow isn't huge. So Aaron Gordon's going to have some size on him. I don't know. Aaron Gordon at 5,600 is potentially worth it, I think.
Yeah, I mean, he's a guy that I'll probably have a little exposure to in tournaments. I just, you know, he was so up and down, you know, the last year when I would play him. So I don't think he's safe enough for cash games. But, yeah, he definitely has some, you know, if he gets the minutes, he definitely does have some upside. So I'll have a little bit of exposure to him for sure tomorrow.
I'll say his best way of scoring right now though is going to the rack, and maybe you don't want to get, like we were saying with Fournier, maybe you discount Aaron Gordon a little bit with the expectation that it's just going to be harder to score with Hassan Whiteside down there.
Yep. And speaking of that game, a sleepy sneaky guy that I like for tomorrow is Justice Winslow, man. 4.7K. You know, they are playing at Orlando. Like, I think eventually he could end up being Miami's best player.
He can do it all.
Yeah, he really can. And he did work on his shot, his offensive game, a lot this summer. You know, I was watching him, you know, take a lot of warm-up jumpers. I mean, his shot does look changed a little bit, and it looks a lot better. If he can just get you, like, 10 to 12 actual points, he can get you, you know, steals and do a lot of things. He's going to get a lot of minutes. So, like, he's an intriguing guy, 4.7K. I don't know if I want to play him in cash games yet, but I'm definitely going to have a little bit of exposure to him in tournaments. I think he's going to be low owned.
To kind of round out, like, one other guy to think about, James Ennis, 4,000. He's expected to start at small forward for Memphis. So if that gets confirmed, he might get just a decent enough run to really, you know, easily make value on that $4,000. So
yep.
I like him.
Yeah, so we gave you some good options for some cheap guys at small forward. So you know, that should open up some nice value for you to get guys like Harden, Westbrook, and some of the bigger guys that we're going to talk about in a couple minutes. So moving on, power forward. Like the weirdest, I had to do a double take when I saw this.
Looks like Daniel's having a little bit of an issue. Can you hear him? Tyler?
I'm here.
Okay. So it looks like Daniel's having a little bit of an issue. He dropped out. So we'll just continue talking about power forwards. He was about to get into it. So when we're looking at power forwards on FanDuel, Tyler, are there any that stand out for you? I know the biggest one or the one name who's really obvious is Serge Ibaka is just 4,800. And we know that he's supposed to have a bigger role on Orlando. We haven't really seen him. He's done a little bit more in the preseason, but that just seems like an obvious play. You have to get a lineup or two with Serge Ibaka at 4,800.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, this is all I need. So, I mean, it's not, I mean, like, and he's getting you over the value you need. So, I mean, that's no brainer right there.
Do we know why Serge Ibaka is only 4,800 on FanDuel?
No, that's one of the beauties of like FanDuel, DraftKings, all these sites. I mean, and their weird algorithms, there's always like one or two that just make no sense. And just, you have no reason as to why that is.
That's so radical.
Yeah. Yeah. I was talking to someone
suspended tomorrow. So, I mean, there's one extra guy too that's not going to get any big man minutes, so Ibaka ought to be for a big role.
Yeah, it's not your mic cut out a little bit, but Tyler said Bismack Biyombo is suspended for Wednesday's game, so that definitely helps Serge Ibaka. That also helps Nikola Vucevic, but I believe we'll be talking about him in a second or a little bit later.
Yeah, I just got a message on my screen saying I'm like having technical difficulties. So is that? Can you guys hear me? Am I cool?
You sound great now. You dropped out and then you came back. We were scared for a moment, but then.
I almost had my own Courtney Lee situation happening right in front of me.
So who else do we like at power forward after we get past Ibaka? There are some good guys to go.
Yeah. So the guy who the tin man himself, Anthony Davis, he's pricey, 10.2K, playing against Denver. Denver is notorious for being horrendous guarding opposing big men. So Anthony Davis, I think he's going to be low owned tomorrow at that price. I think everyone's going to jump for guys like Harden, jump for guys like Westbrook. So I think AD is going to have a low ownership. He does have upside, man. So he's a guy for tournaments. I'm going to be looking to play. You know, he's got to get you 50 FanDuel points. That's a lot of points, but he's capable of doing it. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Anthony Davis is a good cash game play. Still do remember, though, those horrifying nights last season where it's like Anthony Davis has left the game and he's not returning and he's only played 6 minutes and then your lineup is just crap. So I think I'd probably be doing Anthony Davis more if I was playing in like a bunch of $2 tournaments. I don't know if I would trust him enough to throw him into my bigger tournament plays or anything like that. But then again, he might just be the smart play. Like, you can't be fearful of things that have happened in the past. He's still just 23. And one of the best anecdotes to kind of talk about Anthony Davis and thinking about him as this oft-injured player, this always-injured player. Steph Curry was oft-injured until he was 23 and then – or through his 23-year-old season. And then he finally got his ankles fixed, and then he blew up and became – you know, the guy we know today. So don't completely write off Anthony Davis. Don't be foolish, because he is one of the best fantasy producers out there.
Agree. Number three, my third ranked power forward, Ryan Anderson. Very interested to see how this guy does in D'Antoni's system. 6.8K against the Lakers in that, you know, that over-under of 223. So I'm definitely going to have some Ryan Anderson exposure tomorrow.
Yeah, 6,800. I think that's interesting. Ryan Anderson might be even more baller over on DraftKings just because of his three-pointers, because you get extra credit for that. So, like that. And there's upside with Anderson, too, because if his shot's on and he's banging threes, he could end up taking an absurd amount in this Houston-Los Angeles game.
Yep. This is a guy – the next guy is a guy who I like for fantasy, I like for season-long, and I like for DFS. He's always under-owned. He's always a sneaky play. That's Thaddeus Young. For Brooklyn last year, he made me a lot of money. I think he's going to do the same thing for Indiana. He's 6.6K, so that might be – you know, I was hoping he'd be about around 6K, so the price is maybe a tad bit high. But a nice matchup versus Dallas tomorrow. You know, if he's guarding Dirk, which I think he will be, he should be able to, you know, to move around Dirk easily, get some nice easy layups and easy buckets. So Thaddeus Young is a nice play at 6.6K.
What do you feel about Patrick Patterson? He's just 3,700. He might start at power forward. He's going to have, you know, probably 28 minutes, regardless of whether he comes off the bench or not. But does that matter with him because he's so anemic in his like per minute production?
Yeah, I mean, he's just one of those guys who annoys me because I look at the end of the game and he'll, like you said, he'll have 28 actual minutes and I'll be like, well, where's the actual stats? Because there's nothing there. Like, he plays super hard. I like watching him play, but just he just doesn't do enough on the stats.
He's not aggressive on offense, and on defense he just plays good like team defense. He's not out there blocking shots and stuff like that.
Right.
What about Julius Randle at 6,300?
I think I'm going to use him a little bit tomorrow, but only because they're playing Houston and I love the over-under. Normally, I think that price is too high for Julius Randle. I think that price is going to come down once the season moves on a little bit.
I think I definitely would look at getting him into a couple lineups because I love the matchup against Ryan Anderson, though, too.
Right.
Julius Randle is much more fleet of foot and might be able to take Anderson off the dribble a lot. And he could end up having a hell of a game and play quite a few minutes.
Yep. I think there's no bad options from that game tomorrow. There's really not. Another guy, this is right. Well, you can talk about this one. So your squad, the Pistons, Tobias Harris.
Yeah.
I think he's going to be under owned tomorrow. 6.3K. No Reggie Jackson. I think he's going to get some extra shots at Toronto. What are your thoughts about Tobias?
You love the matchup. Tobias plays power forward for the Pistons, and if the Raptors are going to try and guard him with a rookie's, I think, second-round player, Pascal Siakam, or even Patrick Patterson, they're not as agile and mobile as Tobias Harris or athletic. Tobias Harris can easily play small forward. So, yeah, that's an interesting matchup, and it could be really, really good. Plus, there's just not as much rim protection on that Toronto team as there was last year with Bismack Biyombo now down in Orlando. So Tobias excels at cutting to the rack, at going off the dribble in kind of a straight line and getting layups, and he could really feast against that Toronto team if they don't have Jonas Valanciunas out there to help protect the rim much.
And the last two guys at power forward, if you want to save a little money, Jermichael Green, who I think is one of the most boringest players in the NBA, but he is starting now. He should – like, I don't think he has much upside, but he's 5K. First in Minnesota. This game I'm probably going to stay away from for the most part. He's got not a great over-under. I think the over-under is about 199. There's just other guys I like more. But if you do need to save, he's in play tomorrow. All right, and let's move on to the center position. Last but not least, lots of options at center. Center is fantastic for Wednesday's slate of 10 games. Leading off, DeMarcus Cousins, 10K at Phoenix. I think he's a great play. Then you also got Karl-Anthony Towns, 8.8K versus Memphis, a tough opponent. So I don't think I'm going to play him in cash games, but I definitely want some tournament exposure to Towns. Then you got Whiteside, 8.7K at Orlando. He should feast tomorrow, and you got Drummond at 8.2K at Toronto. Four monster centers, and you got better options than that. But let's start with those four. Kyle, give me your thoughts on those four guys.
All of them?
Yeah.
No, I mean, Cousins is probably going to hit value, but you're not. And he always has higher potential, but his blocks have come down over the last couple seasons. So you're not – that maybe the potential there isn't so much. I am a little bit – curious to see how Jaeger is going to use Cousins and exactly how many minutes he's going to get. So there is somewhat of a reluctance just because I don't know exactly how it's all going to come together with Jaeger there now. But at the same time, you look at the rest of DeMarcus Cousins' teammates and who the hell else is going to do everything that they need him to do. So Karl-Anthony Towns against Memphis. Marcus Gasol is going to play limited minutes most likely, so Towns isn't going to have to match up against him as much. If Towns gets matched up on Jermichael Green, he's probably going to feast. That's not to denigrate Jermichael Green as much as, say, Karl-Anthony Towns is just awesome. And if he's playing against a kind of average-ish player, he's going to eat him up. And then Drummond against Toronto, it's a decent situation. Toronto's a jump shooting team. Drummond loves to eat up those rebounds. And then Hassan against Orlando. You know what? Hassan might have a really good offensive game just because without
Bismack Biyombo there. Vucevic is going to get destroyed by Whiteside, and the Ibaka might not have the thickness to go up against Whiteside.
Yeah, I mean, actually, when the more I think about it, I think Whiteside might be my top center play for tomorrow. It's hard for me to envision him not hitting value at the 8.7K against like Vucevic. I mean,
and we saw Spoelstra come out today and say that as long as Hassan Whiteside stays out of foul trouble, he could envision Whiteside playing 34 to 36 minutes.
Yep.
So, but that foul trouble is a legit problem because Whiteside does. He tries to command that paint. He goes out and gets big blocks numbers. He's contesting shots. That fouls are going to happen.
And Vucevic, like, always kills Miami. He always destroys them. He's always a super tough matchup. So, you know, if Whiteside did pick up some early cheap fouls, it would not surprise me. But just on the other end of the floor, Vucevic's a horrendous defender. So I think Whiteside should eat him alive.
Holla.
Other than that, Marc Gasol, I don't really want much of him tomorrow. 7.3K versus Minnesota. Al Horford, he's always Mr. Consistency. He's always a nice cash game, very safe center, nothing sexy, although he's very handsome, but nothing sexy about his game. 7K against Brooklyn, that also could also be a blowout, so I don't know how much Al Horford I'm going to play tomorrow, but I do like that price. If his price stays around that 7K, I think, you know, going forward he'll be a nice option most nights. Not sure how much I want him tomorrow.
Some cheaper options to consider. Steven Adams at 4,700 is great. He showed off an expanded offensive game the last couple games of the preseason. And maybe Adams just exceeds our expectations in regard to what is capable for him on the offensive end. I would say that I think his game is kind of an opportunist type game. If somebody leaves Steven Adams open, he'll throw up this little flip shot weird thing that he does. But I don't think that he necessarily has a – I guess I don't trust Steven Adams' offensive game, but he can be opportunist. It's been shown in the last couple preseason games. And then Yusuf Nurkic at 4,600, I think, is another great price to consider.
Yep, and then we also talked about Clint Capella earlier, 4.2K against the Lakers. So you do have some cheap options there. But so lots of good options at center for tomorrow. Tyler, anyone else that you like at center?
You got the guy going against Capella, maybe Mozgov. He ought to get minutes. I mean, he's not sexy, but he's only 3,900. So, I mean, he's nice and cheap.
Yeah. And then Miles Turner at 6,400. Miles Turner is going to be matching up. I mean, who guards him? If Miles Turner is out there kind of patrolling near the 3-point line, is Bogut going to step out on him from Dallas? Is Dirk really going to be able to stick with Turner? Because then Turner can potentially put it on the floor a little bit. You don't necessarily see Turner putting it on the floor from the perimeter a lot, but if he's dragging out, if he's playing out on the perimeter, they're probably going to put Dirk on him. And I would like that matchup. If they leave Bogut on him, I mean, I think there's potential for Turner to feast with his LaMarcus Aldridge type face-up shooting game.
Yeah, he'll be a nice play tomorrow because he'll be super low owned. So like if you want to put him in some tournaments, like I think he's a nice play.
Holla holla.
All right. That covers all the positions. I think you know, going through all the positions we touched upon almost every game tomorrow. So hopefully that will give you guys some nice guidance to make some money. If you have any questions, feel free to hit us up on Twitter. Also, if you have any suggestions in terms of what you guys want us to talk about during these shows, let us know.
I think as we get deeper into it, I think I'll like to talk about is to say, like, guys to maybe consider avoiding. So Joel Embiid at 4,700, that's kind of pricey knowing that he's going to have a 20-minute limit. Like, I'm not going to – the ceiling is kind of too low there. Or would you feel like 4,700 and 20 minutes out of Joel Embiid is worth throwing into a cash game?
For a cash game, hell no. Okay. That's way too risky for a cash game. But I do think
there's no ceiling for him.
Yeah. If you want to throw him in for a tournament, I mean, you know, maybe if you're playing 20 lineups and you want to use him in like one or two, but yeah, you know, you're definitely right. In 20 minutes, though, I need to see those minutes go up before I probably use him a lot in DFS.
Holla.
All right, guys, with that, anything else you guys want to add? Tyler, you okay over there?
Yeah, no, I'm good. I think we covered just about every game, so I'm happy.
All right. Cool. All right, guys. So I think that does it. We'll be back for tomorrow's show to talk about the slate on Thursday, the 27th. But good luck on Wednesday the 26th. On 10 beautiful basketball games. Make some money, make us proud, and we'll see you tomorrow. Later, guys.
Yep. If you want, now we talked a little bit about injuries and stuff like that, but make sure before you set your lineups that you're checking injuries. You can go to the player news page on Basketball Monster. I believe it's free, and they've got kind of a list of injured guys you can look at there. So you can get all your news there. And, of course, follow Basketball Monster on Twitter, because you're going to get the information on any guys who are late scratches coming through quickest right there. Holla, holla.
All right. With that, make some money. Make us proud. Later.